Well, good day, saints, and we welcome you to another Lord's Day message brought to you from Calvary Church of Needles. We're so grateful that you've been able to join us, and I invite you at this point, like I always do at the beginning of these Bible studies, to grab your personal Bible if you're somewhere where you can have it open safely in front of you. And join me in turning to Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans 4, 3, because this is our first pillar text, as we call it, for this Bible study today. We have two other pillar passages as well, one in the book of Galatians and the other in Genesis. We're going through a series in the book of Genesis, and so our main passage for this study will be in Genesis chapter 12, which we'll get to in a moment. Let me begin by reading for you Romans 4, verse 3. If you're there, you can follow along. If you have an open Bible in front of you, listen to God's eternal word, saints. Apostle Paul says, "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Famous passage there. Now turn with me to the book of Galatians. You'll go forward in your Bible several books. Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. So Galatians 3, 8 and 9. Are you ready? Okay. Hear God's word, saints. "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." See that, saints? All right. Now turn to our main passage for this study in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And I'll read for you verses 1 through 7. Are you there? Are you ready? Okay. Once again, listen to God's eternal word. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth, all the families of the earth, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Verse 4 now. "So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land." Verse 7 now. This will be familiar. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him." All right, saints, those are our foundational scriptures for this study. I'll cite lots more scripture passages in the course of this study, but those are the main ones we'll look at. But before we begin, before we launch the study, let's cry out to God in prayer. Will you join me in prayer? Father, again, we present ourselves to you to be blessed by you today, by your word, by your gospel, and by your Holy Spirit. Father, we can depend upon the fact every time we open your word, the Bible, you're going to feed us. And so accomplish that miracle again in the lives of these dear saints and in my life too. We look forward to what we're going to learn, and we also look forward even more to how you're going to transform us just a bit more into the glorious image of your Son. We thank you, praise you, and honor you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, saints. In our continuing series through the book of Genesis, we're now in chapter 12, so we're making some headway, although it's slow headway. Last week, we considered one verse from chapter 12. Actually, it was just half a verse. It was verse 7a. The first half of verse 7, which says, saints, I'm going to read it to you again, verse 7a. This half verse says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.'" Now, saints, the reason I chose this particular half verse to begin our study of chapter 12 last week is because in this concise statement, God is proclaiming the gospel to Abram. Now, I showed you this in the study last week, if you recall. Now, remember, saints, this one promise of God here in verse 7a, this one promise of God to Abram has two fulfillments. This is crucial to understand. In its first level fulfillment, which is the kingdom of Israel, Abram's promised offspring are the ethnic people of Israel. And Abram's promised land is Canaan, which will become the land of Israel. But this one promise of God, saints, has two fulfillments, not just one. The near horizon of God's promise, like I just said, was the kingdom of Israel, God's temporary typological kingdom. But this promise of God also has a second level eternal fulfillment in the far horizon of the kingdom of God. And saints, this is how God is proclaiming the gospel with this promise to Abraham. God is promising Abram, he's still Abram now at this point, God is promising Abram not just the temporary kingdom of Israel. God is also promising Abram with this one promise an eternal holy kingdom, the kingdom of God, which is like the kingdom of Israel, which, like the kingdom of Israel, will have a people and a land, a people and a place. But the people and the place of the kingdom of God will be God's eternal people and God's eternal place. Saints, this brief promise of God to Abram, here in Genesis 12, 7a, is the gospel. It's the gospel in its earliest fledgling form. How about that? God is promising Abram an inheritance in his eternal holy kingdom, the kingdom of God. To your offspring I will give this land, God says. Now I know, saints, this doesn't sound like the gospel, but this is the gospel. And we can understand it as the gospel when we understand that God's kingdom promise has these two fulfillments. Saints, Abram was saved. He was eternally saved by hearing a gospel promise of God, like this one, and believing a promise from God, like this one. But Genesis 12, 7 isn't the first time that God had proclaimed the gospel to Abram. Look up now in verses 1 through 3 here in chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. These verses record God's call of Abram. Now, according to Stephen's testimony in Acts 7, verse 2, this call of Abram occurred while Abram was still in Mesopotamia, in Ur of the Chaldeans. This was before Abram journeyed to Haran and sojourned there for a while. The Bible tells us that there in Ur, Abraham's father, Terah, and Abraham himself were both polytheistic idolaters. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2 tells us this. So Abram and his father worshipped and served false gods, as did the entire culture Abram was part of. So nothing in Abram, saints, commended Abram to God. Nothing drew God to Abram. And nothing caused God to save this idolater, except God's unconditional love, which underlies God's unconditional election. Saints, to be grace, grace requires, it must have, demerit, that is sin. Without demerit, without sin, grace isn't grace. Without sin, God's favor is, well, it's wages earned. And saints, true salvation is totally by grace. So God can only save sinners, people who absolutely don't deserve salvation. And Abram was one such person. So we pick up Abram the idolater's story here in verse 1 of chapter 12. In fact, I'll read verses 1 through 3 for you again. Now this is the gospel, saints, the gospel in its incipient form. Verses 1 through 3 of Genesis 12 says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Saints, this is God proclaiming to Abram the gospel. And to prove this to you, in case you doubt it, look at our second pillar passage for this study now. In Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9. I read this for you a moment ago. Now turn there again, if you're able to have a Bible in front of you. Galatians 3, 8 and 9. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here in Galatians 3, verse 8. He says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith," here it is, "preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed." Saints, the Apostle Paul is quoting here in Galatians 3:8, the last line of Genesis 12:3 that I just read for you, where God promises Abram, this is Genesis 12:3, God promises Abram, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And the Apostle Paul is saying that in making this promise to Abram, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed," in making this promise to Abram, God was preaching the gospel to Abram. So here's what the Apostle Paul is saying, saints. He's saying that this promise has a double fulfillment. Yes, 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 the ethnic people of Israel are the people of God. But the ethnic people of Israel are just the first level fulfillment of God's people promise to Abram. God's promise also looks far, far beyond the temporary kingdom of Israel. Saints, God is promising that in Abraham, not just the ethnic people of Israel, but all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So how will all the families of the earth be blessed by Abraham? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us how in verse 9 here. Hope you're still in Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 9 now. I'll read it for you. Apostle says, "So then those who are of faith, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Now remember, saints, the single requirement for entrance into God's eternal kingdom and eternal life is faith. Abram's second level offspring, Abram's second level people are Christ and all those united to Christ by faith. We talked about this last week, didn't we? The second level people of God, first level people of God are the people of Israel. The second level people of God are Christ and all those united to Christ by faith. Now there in Galatians 3, down in verse 16, so Galatians 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul, he's explaining the second level offspring of Abraham. And he points out that offspring in God's promise is singular. And so Abraham's singular offspring, his singular second-level offspring, is Christ. Again, that's in verse 16. And then if you go further down the page or across the page, in verse 29, still here in Galatians 3, verse 29, the apostle says this, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So if you're united to Christ by faith, that is, if you're saved, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So Abraham's second level offspring are Christ and all those united to Christ by faith. What have I just described? Well, that's the church, saints. That's the church. Christ, our head, and all those united to Christ by the Holy Spirit and by faith. That's the church. We could say that's the invisible church, the true church. Saints, as I'm explaining the second level fulfillment of God's kingdom promises, I'm proclaiming the gospel to you. If you only see the first level fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham, saints, you miss the gospel. Can you see that? Okay, now turn back to home base. Turn back to God's promise there in Genesis 12. And look at verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now let's consider for a moment the two fulfillments of this promise of God to Abram in verse 1. Now that we understand this double fulfillment truth, let's practice it here in verse 1. Again, verse 1 says, I'm back in Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, saints, the first level fulfillment of this promise is obvious. God is promising to show Abram the land of Canaan, which would become the land of Israel, which is the first level fulfillment of God's land promise. And God did this. In fact, the following passage in verses 4 and 5 here in Genesis 12 describes God leading Abram to the land of Canaan and then showing Abram the land, the land of Canaan. But God's promise in verse 1, saints, also has a second level eternal fulfillment, a fulfillment that proclaims the gospel. Again, God says to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Saints, the second level land in God's promise here is the land of God's eternal kingdom, which is this earth, this entire earth. But this earth, after Jesus redeems it and glorifies it. Saints, God is promising Abram here an inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth, and in its capital city, the New Jerusalem. Now, saints, I'm not speculating about this. We can be absolutely certain that God's promise includes this second level fulfillment. Here's why. Because the New Testament clearly tells us that it does. I've pointed this out to you several times before in this series. But the author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. This isn't one of our pillar passages. But in Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10, the author of Hebrews tells us that Abraham knew that God's land promised to him pointed far, far beyond the land of Canaan. God revealed to Abraham that his ultimate promise to him was not the land of Canaan, but rather it was the new heavens and the new earth. Or as the author of Hebrews puts it in Hebrews 11, verse 10, the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. In fact, let me read that wonderful passage for you again, saints. Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10 say this. God's word says, by faith, there it is, by faith, he, meaning Abram, went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So as I've asked you before, why would Abram live in tents in the land of promise? After all, it was his first level promised land. Well, the author of Hebrews tells us why in verse 10. Verse 10 says, for he, Abram, was looking forward to, there's that phrase, the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Saints, God showed Abram, revealed to Abram, that his land promise had a second level eternal fulfillment beyond Canaan. Now back in Genesis 12:1, God promises Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house, listen to this, to the land that I will show you. Okay? First level fulfillment, Canaan. God did indeed show Abram Canaan. Second level fulfillment, the new heavens and the new earth. This entire earth, after Jesus returns for his second coming, and redeems it and glorifies it. And God did indeed show Abram this, a glimpse of, he at least gave Abram a glimpse of this final eternal land. God fulfilled this promise then, not only by showing Abram Canaan, but also by revelation, showing Abram the final eternal land of promise, the new heavens and the new earth. And saints, this is why the author of Hebrews says Abram was content to live in tents in the first level promised land, in Canaan. Because Abram knew that Canaan wasn't his true homeland. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And actually, saints, listen to this. The author of Hebrews tells us that not just Abram, but all the Old Testament saints were given this revelation of God, of the new heavens and the new earth. Now, not with the clarity and detail we New Covenant saints have of the new heavens and the new earth, because we have Revelation chapters 21 and 22. But see, through the typology of Canaan, through the typology of the land flowing with milk and honey, the Old Testament saints were given by God enough clarity and detail that they knew and eagerly looked forward to this final glorious place of promise, God's consummated kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth. Saints, the author of Hebrews tells us this in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. And I want to read this amazing passage for you. Perhaps this should have been one of our pillar passages as well. But this is Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. Listen to this, saints. These, meaning the Old Testament saints, all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Isn't that great? For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, meaning the land of Israel, they would have had opportunity to return. Do you see what the author of Hebrews is saying there in Hebrews 11, verse 15? He's saying if Canaan was their true homeland, they were exiled from Canaan, they could just return to Canaan. And they would be back in their homeland. But he goes on to say in verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. There it is. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Isn't that an amazing passage, saints? How could you dispute the double fulfillment of God's promises? Having read that, see it, all the puzzle pieces fit together there, don't they? So, saints, not just Abram, but Abram and all the other Old Testament saints knew that the first level land of Israel was only the first level temporary fulfillment of God's land promise to his people. So the Old Testament saints understood much more than we sometimes give them credit for, saints. Okay, saints, Abram was saved by a kingdom promise of God, by which God proclaimed the gospel to him. That's what Galatians 3, verse 8 says. At this point, I'm going to ask you to turn to our third pillar text for this study in Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans 4, verse 3. I'll read this verse for you again. God's word says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, this is a quotation from Genesis 15, verse 6. But back in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, that I just read for you, in this chapter, in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is establishing that true salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, without any of our works of the law. Although, saints, the law is not overthrown by salvation, because God's salvation working in our lives produces holiness, and obedience to God's moral law as a fruit of our faith. So as his first example of salvation by faith, here in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul cites Abraham. And here in verse 3 that I just read for you, the Apostle tells us how Abraham was saved. Abraham was saved, saints, in the same way everyone who has ever been saved has been saved. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So the instant Abram believed God, the instant he believed God's promise to him, God reckoned or counted the full righteousness of Christ that Christ would earn for all his people nearly 2,000 years in the future from Abram. God reckoned or counted this perfect future Christ-earned righteousness to Abram. And in an instant, this idolater from a family of idolaters was immediately and eternally and gloriously saved. And saints, we were all saved in this same way. Now, saints, I recently said something in a teaching that I'm now going to retract, okay? I'm going to step back concerning something I recently said. Let me explain. The apostle is quoting Genesis 15, verse 6, here in Romans 4, 3. Like I just told you. You can turn there if you want. But the context of Genesis 15, 6 is this. Several years have now passed since God proclaimed his first gospel promise to Abram. Abram has been living in Canaan now for a while. And Abram's concerned over the fact that he still doesn't have even one single offspring. When he first arrived in the land of Canaan, God had given, Abram that promise in Genesis 12, 7a. To your offspring I will give this land. And then sometime later, God reconfirmed his promise to Abram by telling Abram that he would make Abram's offspring as many as the dust of the earth. God said to him, if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. That's the promise of God there in Genesis chapter 13, verse 16. Genesis 13, 16. But now in the account in Genesis chapter 15, several years have passed. Abram is still in the land of Canaan, but he still doesn't have even one single offspring. So Abram's faith is beginning, it's beginning to flag. Our faith does flag at times, saints. So Abram says to God in Genesis 15, verse 3, he says to God, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. Abram is referring there to his chief servant, Eliezer, who would have been his heir had he remained sonless. So God responds to Abram in this way. He says, this is the second half of verse 4 there in Genesis 15. God says to Abram, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And then God takes Abram outside and tells him to look up into the night sky and to consider the number of stars in the sky. And God says to Abram, so shall your offspring be. This is the third part of verse 5 there in Genesis 15. And Abram's response is in verse 6. Again, Abram's response, it's in verse 6. He believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. And this is the verse, saints, that the Apostle Paul quotes in Romans 4, verse 3, when he's describing how Abram was saved. As I said, Abram was saved like everyone else who has ever been saved has been saved. By grace alone, through faith alone, without any of his own works. But saints, here's what I recently said that I now want to step back from. In one of our recent studies, I said that the Apostle Paul, there in Romans 4, verse 3, pinpoints for us when Abram was saved. When he was saved. Well, here's what I want to say now, saints. There in Romans chapter 4, the apostle is pinpointing for us how Abram was saved. How he was saved. Not necessarily when he was saved. See, saints, Abram may have been saved while he was still in Ur of the Chaldeans, when God originally called him, chronicled there in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. This may have been Abram's effectual call when God regenerated him and saved him eternally. The Apostle Paul's point in Romans chapter 4 is that this is how Abram was saved. He was justified by faith. No matter when he was saved, okay, this is how he was saved. Looking ahead to his son's redemptive accomplishment, God reckoned Christ's perfect righteousness to Abram when Abram believed God's promise. And Abram was instantly, supernaturally, and eternally saved by God. Saints, Abram was probably saved in Ur of the Chaldeans when God first called him. God's call of Abram in Genesis 12, 1 through 3 was probably, in all likelihood, Abram's effectual call. In fact, saints, this is almost certainly the case, because the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 11, verse 8, he says this, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. There in Hebrews 11, 8, the author of Hebrews is describing God's call of Abram. There in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Back in Hebrews 11, after the author of Hebrews says that about Abraham, then he goes on to list a few of the other deeds Abraham did by faith. So he says in verse 9 of Hebrews 11, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. And he says, a few verses down from there, by faith, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. Saints, remember, obedience to God in the covenant of grace is a result of authentic salvation. not a requirement for salvation. When we think or act as if our imperfect obedience is a necessary requirement for our eternal salvation, saints, we diminish Christ's perfect work. And we corrupt the gospel and diminish Christ as well as his work. When we were talking about Genesis 12, 7a in the study last week, and again at the beginning of this study, did you notice the second half of that verse? Right after God proclaimed his promise again to Abram, so right after God proclaimed the gospel to Abram, right after that, the Bible says this. This is the second half of Genesis 12, 7. So he, Abram, built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. Saints, this is how true salvation works. The gospel, the proclamation of the free gift of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, the gospel empowers us, saints. The gospel fills us with God's light and life. It unleashes the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we want to worship God and serve God and obey God. So right after God issues that promise to Abram, the first half of Genesis 12, 7, next half verse says, so he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Isn't that wonderful? That's how the gospel works. Now it also says there in Genesis 12, 7, in the first half of the verse, it says that the Lord appeared to Abram. The Lord appeared to Abram. Now, don't feel deprived, saints, when you hear that. Because the Apostle Paul reminds us in a verse that we love in this church in 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Apostle Paul reminds us that each time we hear the gospel proclaimed, we glimpse the glory of God. And each time, as a result of glimpsing the glory of God, we are incrementally transformed by the gospel. So the Apostle Paul talks about the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. I love that phrase, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Apostle uses that term in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. And remember, each time God reiterated his promise to Abram, God was proclaiming the gospel to Abram. Although it was the gospel in its fledgling form, Abram got it. He got it. And so each reiteration and expansion of God's promise built up Abram in the faith. God was sanctifying Abram, who became Abraham, through these promises. It's just like each time we hear the gospel proclaimed, saints, we're built up in the faith and sanctified just a little bit more. Saints, the New Testament authors understood that the kingdom of Israel was a fulfillment of God's promise to Abram. But they also understood that the kingdom of Israel, by God's design, was just a temporary kingdom, which God designed to be a typological model, picturing and pointing to God's true eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God. And this is why, saints, the New Testament authors always, they always emphasize the second level fulfillment of God's kingdom promise instead of the first level fulfillment. Because the second level fulfillment is the eternal fulfillment that the first level fulfillment pictures and points to. And each time the authors, the New Testament authors, proclaim the second level fulfillment of God's kingdom promise, they are proclaiming the gospel, which gives believers a glimpse of God's glory and incrementally transforms them each time they hear the gospel. Okay, saints, one more matter, which I'll just have time to introduce in this study. And then we'll come back to this in an upcoming study. We're talking for a moment about Genesis chapter 15. There in Genesis 15, verse 6, where it says that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Well, there in Genesis chapter 15, which we'll study in depth in upcoming study when we get there in this series through Genesis. There in chapter 15, God enters into a covenant with Abram. Now, we've talked about that strange covenant ratifying ceremony that God carries out in Genesis 15. We've talked about that ceremony many times in the past. Saints, it's a very important ceremony to understand, because the covenant God enters into with Abram, there in Genesis chapter 15, through this ceremony, this strange ceremony, is the covenant of grace. The same covenant that God has entered into with us, saints. So let me remind you of this covenant establishing ceremony. Now remember, saints, Christ established the covenant of grace. Christ established the covenant of grace for God's people by fulfilling the covenant of works for us. Underlying the covenant of grace is Christ's fulfillment of the covenant of works. This is a truth that we need to be continually reminded of. So to establish this covenant of grace with Abram, here's what God did. God put Abram into a deep sleep. That's in Genesis 15, verse 12. And then God himself, by his manifest presence, passed through a path, a pathway of sacrificed animal parts. That's in Genesis 15, verse 17. Saints, this was the way that two parties entered into a covenant in the ancient Mideast. Sacrificed cut-up animals were set out to form a path, a pathway. And the two parties, to establish their covenant, walked through this path together. In doing this, the two parties were swearing an oath to each other. They were swearing an oath that each party would fulfill their obligations in the covenant. And if they didn't, they would be put to death. Like the sacrificed animals that lined the path. Again, saints, to establish the covenant of grace with his people, Christ had to fulfill the covenant of works for us. So Christ had to live a perfect life in our place for us. This is called Christ's act of obedience. And then Christ had to die a sin-bearing sacrificial death for us. That is, Christ had to bear the covenant of works curse for us. And the covenant of works curse is death and condemnation. This is called Christ's passive obedience. See, saints, what those sacrifice cut-up animals experienced that lined the path God passed through, Christ had to experience to establish the covenant of grace for us. God was swearing an oath in this strange ceremony. God was swearing an oath to establish this absolutely unilateral covenant with his people by fulfilling the covenant of works for us. And when the time had fully come, God brought forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Saints, this is the gospel. That Christ came and fully accomplished what God promised and swore that he would. So that eternal salvation for all of God's people, for Abraham and all of his spiritual offspring, so that eternal salvation is a free gift of God by God's grace through faith without any of our own works. Because Christ has earned perfect, full, eternal salvation for us by his perfect works. As I said, we'll come back to Genesis 15 and study it in more depth when we get there in our series. Look down at my timepiece, and we are now out of time, saints. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you so much for your gospel. We thank you so much, Father God, for the wondrous transformation, for the light and life that it imparts to us. Just like it did to Abraham, and just like it did to all the Old Testament saints. We're so privileged and blessed to live in this new covenant era. We have much, much more light than those old covenant saints did. Help us, Father, motivate us, inspire us to take advantage of all the different opportunities to hear your gospel, to read about your gospel, to preach your gospel to ourselves. You've given us all these opportunities, Father, so that we can be built up in the faith continually. Continue to instill us with a desire to do that. Thank you for your presence with us today. Whatever day these dear saints are listening to this message, I pray it would be a great, great day in the Lord. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.